It's the Jimmy Doan Show. Let's see, this is for those listening, this is October 20th. The Roulette Day. That's right. This is going to have a good time today. I'm feeling good. It's going to be a good show. We missed Sunday, unfortunately. Everybody was sick, so we couldn't do Sunday. So we have a week's worth of material here. And I love Jimmy Smith. This is good. Anyway, we have today Hurricane Wilma Watch Day or something. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But we've got today we have Curtis.
Hey.
And EJ.
Nice to see you. Nice
and old EJ. And engineer Eric.
You got it.
That's right. And me, Jimmy Doan. We appreciate listening, for your listening. And we also await your emails at jimmy@jimmydoan.com. And thank you all for that.
Thank you for the nude pictures, those of you that sent them. Gentlemen, you can save it. Especially Long Dong, I didn't need to see that.
I want to say a special hello to Dave over there in Baghdad.
Baghdad.
Baghdad Dave, protecting our country.
He took a moment to dive a bullet and send us an email.
Yes, he did.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, Dave's got a blog, website, whatever, got us on his website. Appreciate that. So we got people in Baghdad listening to us, Fallujah, and so forth. That's great.
Cool.
So anyway, today's topics, I want to talk a little bit about a couple of things. Number one is the hurricane
Wampin' Wilma.
That's right. Want to talk about that? And of course,
Wampin' Wilma Flintstone.
Big news.
Through,
that's right.
Woo!
And the Saddam trial. I'm going to say a few words about Saddam.
Oh yes, a few. And
I am innocent.
Bring out the corpses. Yes.
That's right. You're going to have to give us EJ. You're going to have to give us your Star Wars guy. That's the
Nubian Saddam. He's
a good friend.
He's a good friend. Hero of the people.
They're going to fry him.
Well, you say that. But we're going to talk about that. And we'll, of course, talking about trials and judges. Harriet Myers, of course, she's in the news. A lot of questions there. And then a couple of little, not really light things, but I want to talk about the insulin pump. So anyway, Hurricane Wilma. You don't have a sound effect for Hurricane Wilma?
Yeah,
Eric, come on.
We will shortly. It'll be,
Well, you know, what's fascinating is this hurricane, of course, is setting all kinds of records. Number one, it ties the record for the most in a season, I think.
Most
named storms.
Yeah.
And, of course, it also is, I believe it sets a record for the most hurricanes, ties the record for the most hurricanes. Mm-hmm. Storms are one thing, hurricanes something else. Okay, with this one we have run out of names, so the next one will be Hurricane Alpha or Tropical Storm Alpha, soon to be who knows what. It also accelerated faster from a Zephyr into a
Hurricane Five
in less than 24 hours.
There we go. Hey, you're gonna make me have to pee. Stop that.
Put this thing on pause. No, well, it ramped up like a jet engine.
882 millibars.
Yes, yeah. That was a record.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. 882 millibars. I mean, hurricanes, they come across the coast at like 900 and 910.
Hurricane Andrew was 920.
Yeah. This is 882. I mean, you're talking about low pressure. I'm talking about the ocean was being sucked up. It was like a veritable suck up to the moon. No, that's low pressure. I mean, it doesn't. That's low.
So, what do you think they're doing down there? In
well, that's the, they, no. So anyway, they've got the track of this thing right now. It is, as we speak, it is devastating for the second time.
Our favorite resort
down there in Cozumel is blowing over Cozumel and destroying. You know, they had told us it was going to be open by. It was literally, as God is my witness, I got a note from them that said it will open November 1st. Okay, as we speak, that is that is 11 days from today.
Nothing anymore.
I don't think so. No, I think you're not to be open.
I think you're going to be rebuilding.
No. My cousin, he builds good and fast.
Right.
I send him over.
Well, news and bad news is that all the Mexicans that have been up here in the construction business have found new jobs down there. They are now leaping over the fence back into Mexico.
Unless they open as a water park, they're going to stay closed.
Yeah, they're going to. There's no question. And so anyway, it's the bottom line though is it's interesting. the track on this thing, even though as we speak, it is headed towards California. The track that they have projected is that it's going to come where we are sitting.
Right.
It exactly that the eye will pass over this microphone, the Jim and Dome microphone, Sunday night. You know, right. today is what, Thursday or whatever.
Right.
So that's what they're saying. And of course, it will come shore. What is it down there, Punta Gorda, where the big one was last
Charlie
year?
Oh no!
Yeah, that's right. That, and they, of course, they are still have got.
They're just getting. Almost try to get back together. It was 14 months ago or something.
Yeah, that's right. 14 months ago, number one. Number two, of course, one of the things that they did, which I know this is the reason the hurricane is headed this way.
They put trailer parks down.
That's exactly right. They've got hundreds and hundreds of brand new trailers down there. And these people are, you know, that are sitting there.
Don't people know? I mean, a trailer is our tornado/hurricane magnet.
Oh, honest to God, and that's where it's going to be headed. It's right. going to go right over. I mean, these people. Here's a trailer that is like a year old.
Right. Just name your kid Dorothy.
That's it. And it's going to be chumped up firewood here in less than a week.
Asbestos firewood.
No, they're not asbestos. They didn't do that. I got to give them credit for that. So but the deal is that different from New Orleans, of course, they've already the evacuation has already started.
Well, they have to because the people down there are like 90 years old and they only drive 10 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's right. Well, there's good news.
Modified tanks.
Yeah, you're talking about the 1978 Buick,
Delta Olds
98,
right, 98,
or the Cadillac Brougham down there from St. Petersburg.
Oh my
gosh. No, I mean these are the people that look through the steering wheel to drive. Yeah. Number one, and of course they have both turn signals on at the same time.
So they're not sure where they're going.
That's
and,
right.
And of course, I mean, I don't know how they're going to fuel all those machines.
Well,
I mean.
The other thing.
Are you kidding me? Every time they pull into a gas station, Dick Cheney smiles.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't think he's getting, but somebody smiles. I think it's mostly the Arabs that are doing the smiling on that.
Yeah. Well, let's see. What do they pay? $4 a barrel to pull it out of the earth, and we're paying $61.60. Yeah, I guess they're smiling right about now.
That's right. Well, of course, I bought some CVX, whatever it is. What is it? Chevron. So
oh, yeah.
I've made money on that. As far as I'm concerned, they can go up $200 a barrel. I don't care. I'm making money.
Right.
I don't feel too bad about that. That's what you do. I mean, you know, you go with the flow.
See an opportunity.
You know?
Go with the flow.
Yeah, yeah that's, well, it's that's gasoline. Nice. Okay, pun. That's a bad one. That's bad. Okay. No, the deal is that those people are going to, of course, that's the other thing. I know this from personal experience. Since Grandma lives down there in St. Pete, and she'll be making a break for it too.
There we go.
These people tend to do something which they hate, called topping up.
Right.
And they literally, when the fuel needle moves off of F, when it actually bounces off of the F, they pull into a gas station.
Right.
You know, and they always get full service because they're not getting out of the car, and full service. You know, if you get out of the car and pump it, it's like $2.93 a gallon. Full service, like $3.50. So they'll spend that $3.50 to get that extra gallon in there.
Yep.
And that's about what it'll take.
Right.
And then they start their you know, land yacht back up again.
That's why they only go another
10 miles.
That's why they only put $5 in their tank every time they go to the station.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
I just said that.
I was scratching. I'm sorry.
Okay. We don't need to hear that.
You
just don't need to go there. That's all.
TMI. Too much.
500 trailers still down in FEMAville, Florida.
Yep. And they're bye-bye.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
they're going to be blown up to the Louisiana Purchase in about 4 days.
Well, I suppose you need 500 tractors or whatever to get them out of there, but they don't got that. So, no, it's my understanding they did tie them down. So
yeah. They tied them down.
Let me
dental floss and some of those twist ties that were left over from the bread loaves.
Yeah.
Now, let me warn everybody now who may be driving a bus full of sick people out of
St. Pete.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the you're talking about the oxygen explosion.
Exactly.
Okay, we talked about a little bit about that one time before, because that was the airplane that went down in Miami that had the canisters. Okay, go ahead.
It's the same thing.
Same thing.
The bottom line is they're criminalizing accidents. There's no...
No.
They are. They are. This guy, let me tell you the background. The guy who was driving the bus on...
Mexicano.
The Mexican citizen that was driving the bus...
Wait a minute. He's a Mexican citizen, not a U.S. citizen.
He's a Mexican citizen.
Okay. So he's a foreigner.
Right. He's driving the bus full of evacuees out of Houston. It catches on fire.
Out of Houston?
Right.
Okay. This was the second hurricane or whatever.
Right. 23 people die. He is now charged with 23 counts of negligent homicide.
Negligent homicide.
Right.
Okay, now let me get this straight. He is rescuing people from Houston. Okay, exactly. Now, of course, we know full well that oxygen is one of those things that tends to... Oxygen itself doesn't burn, but it causes other things to burn.
Well, we know that. Bus drivers typically aren't.
But, I mean, certainly you would have to... Let's say... So everybody's hobbling up there with their little nose... plasticky nose things on their green bottles, right? And they're all sitting down, and there are as many green bottles in there as there are people in the bus. And they're all breathing pure oxygen and so forth and so on. Okay. Of course, even if the bus, if the bus runs over a speed bump and they have to get out, it's going to take an hour.
Right.
Okay. We know that going in because these people are, on crutches and wheelchairs and everything. Okay. So now, Kumo, it goes up, 23 of them die. And why? And he's being charged with negligent homicide.
That's a Mexican running down south to jump the fence.
Yeah.
The
reason is this. The reason is this. What's happened is the trend is simple. In America these days, when somebody gets hurt, the prosecutors try to find somebody to prosecute.
Okay, now this is out of Houston. Is this Earl guy again?
Hey, you'd think. I tell you, it's got to be his cousin or something. Actually, he's not. The fact is that most prosecutors are all falling victim to this.
The prosecutors are the victims.
Well, they are. I'll tell you what's happening. Well,
I don't think so.
I don't mean victim in a sympathetic way.
Hey, this what is America. Everybody has a right to be a victim.
Here's the deal. Humans like to have reasons for the death of their loved ones.
Right.
They don't like to blame God or inanimate objects.
Well, some people do, but yeah, okay.
They want to blame...
Retribution. They want retribution. They want somebody to pay.
Exactly.
By God, somebody's going to pay for the death of Grandma.
Exactly. And they call up the prosecutor, and they say, Granny died on the bus, and the prosecutor folds like Superman on laundry day, and before you know it, he's out there charging this guy with 23 counts of negligent homicide.
Okay, the question is, where does negligent homicide go in the scheme of things as opposed to something like... non-negligent homicide?
What they've done is this. Negligent homicide takes away your state of mind. Takes away your intent. That is to say, they know this guy didn't intend to hurt anybody. And they
don't
care.
So this is below manslaughter?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's still gonna cook for it. You realize we can say it's below this or below that. I don't even think they're gonna get him on the negligent homicide thing. They're gonna get him on a bootstrap law like we have here in Florida. If you're committing a felony... and somebody gets hurt during the commission of the felony, you're liable for that person. So let's say you're stealing a bike from somebody, and they come chasing after you, and they fall down and break their neck and die, you're going down for murder.
Whoa.
Okay? And that's the way that they're going to get this
now,
guy. They're going to say...
Now, is that negligent homicide when that happens?
Yeah, sure. Well, it's not exactly that exact theory, but it's the idea of...
Okay, so what can you... You don't get the death penalty for negligent homicide. You get 20 years or something.
What's the difference?
No, I agree. But a paltry 20 years.
Right. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to offer him, they're going to make him a sweet offer of about 23 years,
right,
a year per person. And then before it's all over, he'll probably take 10 and go to prison. Because he can't take the risk of going to trial on something like this and then getting the death penalty.
The death penalty for negligent homicide?
Oh, sure.
No, come on. That can't be in the... That cannot... I can't imagine that that's in the guidelines.
All right. I'll give you life in prison. I'm not familiar with Texas law, but they do kill people.
We are talking about Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, Texas law, yeah. But this is so beyond the pale, it seems to me. I mean, what was his crime to begin with that caused it?
Well, this is the way that they've done it. What they've said is he was responsible for transporting these people. They didn't make it. Therefore... it's his fault. He must have done something wrong. And don't worry, they'll charge the owners of the company and everything as well. those people will be going to prison as well.
They're going to be paying some big money. You can bet on that for at least on a civil trial.
I'm telling you, prison. I'm telling you, these people will go to prison because somebody died. In America these days, if somebody dies, somebody's going to prison. That's just the way they do it. You could have the victims, family members could all be in there jumping up and down screaming to the prosecutor, don't prosecute this guy, and still the prosecutor will take him down.
Well, of course, the family members probably look at this as like winning the lottery.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, you know, a little bit. I mean, obviously they're aggrieved and everything, but...
Well, but they're going to be in court, you know, getting what do you call wrongful death money, right?
I would imagine.
And so that's going to be millions, you would guess.
If the bus company can pay, of course, they'll try to sue.
Well, yeah, of course, the bus company, if they're smart, will pull a Johns Manville and, you know, declare bankruptcy tomorrow morning.
Well, sure. I mean, they'll go after the bus brake manufacturer, the bus wheel manufacturer, the oxygen tank manufacturer.
Yeah, for sure, the oxygen tank manufacturer.
Everybody you can think of. The person who was in charge, Michael Brown.
INS for giving the guy a green card so he could come into the States and work.
Well, no, you can't sue them. They have sovereign immunity or whatever. That's us, remember.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is when you start prosecuting crimes that don't have intent behind them, it's no deterrent. How does it adjust society's behavior to throw this guy in jail?
Until recently in galactic times, that was the barrier that you had to leap over.
Until
the 30s or 40s or something. When did that actually start? I mean, prior to that time, for the first 150 years of this country,
you had to try to hurt somebody.
Well, what is it called? Rens mea or whatever.
Mens rea.
Mens rea.
Right.
You have to. Right. Exactly. So where is that gone?
It's gone.
It's gone. I'm sorry. It's gone in 60 seconds.
Look, they have strict liability. They have res ipsa loquitur. They have, if somebody gets hurt in America, it's like a random luck of the draw crapshoot. If you're around when somebody dies, get the hell out of
here. Hit the hell out. Do whatever you do. Don't try to resuscitate them. Oh, my gosh. No. However, what they're trying to do mistakenly is force people to take responsibility for things that are happening around them. And in this case, his job. You know, I mean...
They're trying to legislate competence.
Exactly. And we all know where...
And, of course, it is, talk about legislating competence. I mean, we know that doesn't work because why? We have licensing laws, for instance, for the bar and for the doctors. And you go up to any doctor and say, excuse me, do you know any incompetent doctors? And, of course, they will roll their eyes and say, oh, my God, you don't want to know. But he's got a license. He might have graduated, as they say, last in his class. What do you call the doctor who graduates last in his class? Doctor. And he may be the most incompetent, slovenly surgeon, whatever, in the world, but he's still a doctor. And yet, the licensing doesn't protect you at all. In fact, it is a negative protection, it seems to me.
Yeah.
In other words, here's a guy who doesn't have a license who could easily be way more competent.
A foreign doctor of some kind?
Yeah, exactly. Foreign doctor, precisely. You know,
can't do it because doesn't have a license, and the guy who's licensed here sucks, and he can do it because he does.
That's right.
That's your government helping you out. It's like trying to legislate that all kids get A's. If you don't get an A, we're going to discipline you. Well, good luck.
Well, that's, of course, that also, we'll have to get into that. That is another entire subject that has to do with the school system, because there's No Child Left Behind, which, of course, is leaving a lot of them behind. This is the We Guarantee You Left Behind Child Act or whatever.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. No, what we're doing is we're just dragging everybody back.
Well, it is the funnel, or whatever you want to call it, is the toilet flushing towards mediocrity is what it boils down to. And mediocrity has become, you know, people... What they're doing in this particular case, for instance, with this bus driver and the whole the larger picture, is that they are legislating against any risk taking at all. And so, with no risk, you have no rewards.
And even if you're not even trying to take the risk,
this, of course, is this reminds me a little bit of the labels. You know, they have warning labels on warning labels now. I mean, it's you know, warning: do not eat this warning label. It may cause but with the bus driver, I mean, here's a you know, he's as EJ just said, you know, you see something that you obviously can help. You know, now we have a Good Samaritan law, but I don't know if that would shield you. Even so, The Good Samaritan law says that if you try and help, you can't be charged or something like that. Is that right?
Well, they try to put some protection there.
But the bottom line is, as EJ says, it seems to me, that your best course of action is to hoof it on out of there about as fast as you can get.
Well, I'll tell you what. If I was a bus driver, I mean, you got to think, if you own a trolley company, cab company, bus company, boat company, anything like that, or you're a driver for one of those people, if somebody gets hurt, you're going down.
Well, the other thing is, if you are a commercial driver, of course, you have insurance.
Well, that's what you would think. This whole thing, it should be a civil thing. If they blew it, the insurance people should get to be sued by these people for negligent homicide or for wrongful death.
Wrongful death, right.
And that's it.
And that's it. Right.
That's what happened. It's a civil liability. There shouldn't be any criminal.
But as you say, what good is it to society to put to lock up this Mexicano?
It does nothing. Does nothing. It just brings us all down, discourages bus drivers.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we have the word accident, and it's a real word.
Yeah.
This wasn't something we just made up.
Well, and also mischief.
Well, yeah. We talked about things that used to be, when I was a kid, things that used to be called mischief or a prank are now
third degree felony.
Absolutely. No, I mean, really, that's you get the lynch, you know, the thing for that. That's exactly right. Well, so that's a good point though about the bus driver, and of course these guys never stop. Along the same lines, you heard about the woman out in Loveland, Ohio that is going to apparently go to jail for not paying $1.16 in taxes.
Yeah, I saw that.
They charged her with four misdemeanor counts. Her fine, her penalties are 20,000% higher than the amount of money that she owes.
And they're going after her. I mean, you got to think, you know, do what are you doing with your time, prosecutor people? Well, the thing is, of course, a lot of this is not, I don't know if this is a prosecutor person, but these are administrative people that are going after.
Well, it's the same thing. They've been given prosecutorial powers.
That's amazing. I mean, here's a guy, you know, some schlub shows up who's on the board or he's on the committee or he's a staff guy. And he has the authority, you know, to put you in jail. I mean, haul you off.
Absolutely.
What he does, of course, he calls the sheriff. But I mean, they can walk up to your front door and say, if you don't pay this, I'm going to call the sheriff, and they will arrest. And that's what they've threatened her with jail time.
No love in Loveland.
Boy, isn't that the truth? Misnamer, misnomer, Hateland, Ohio.
Hateland, Ohio.
We're gonna rename the town. Hateland. Okay.
They spent more money on stamps sending her the notice than she owed.
That reminds me of the time. This is years and years ago when I had, shall we say, a little trouble with the IRS. And they were garnishing my wages.
Uh-huh.
And I got a check from my company that I was working for of zero.
Oh.
They actually printed it up. $0.00. That's right.
I remember seeing that.
Oh, God. You think, like you say, the paper and the stamp was worth more than the, you know, why did you do? But it seems, like you say, though, there ought to be some limit. At $1.16, you'd think that the city of Hateland, Ohio could write it off, maybe. You know,
no, but this is Ohio we're talking about.
Well, I guess.
I have no problem with
they
Ohio.
Need every dime they can get.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have a real problem with it. But it's just amazing that what they say is Loveland officials say that everyone is required to file an annual return regardless of income level. And the city manager, Frederick Enderley, whatever, this is a flagrant offender.
Flagrant.
She's been given ample opportunity and ample warning to file those returns, and she chose to ignore them. So, Frederick, a flagrant, mind you. You know, Frederick has got too much time on his hands.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question. It is amazing that they are so petty. That's what I'm wondering. That when interviewed, they don't stick up for themselves. Yeah, exactly. I'm covering
they try
my
to
ass.
Defend that.
We're going to get that woman.
That's right.
Don't you worry.
That criminal, that thief, she's stealing food out of the poor's mouths.
That's right.
If we have to send 20 patrol cars and have
all of the ATF show up at our door,
the SWAT team's going to show up. Blue lights, dogs,
right.
Everything. We're going to get this flagrant offender.
Get the prosecutor and the judge.
You know,
she's
probably got more money than that in her couch. Why doesn't she just go search?
She said she offered to pay the $1.16.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
But by that time, the fines were hundreds of dollars.
$200 in fines.
At least they were $200 in late fees and $50 for each year she didn't file. It turns out that this is for an income tax, a city income tax, and it turns out that you have to file a return whether you owe any money or not. Same thing here in feds, of course, you have to file a return. Let me see. You have to file even if you owe no taxes.
Right.
In other words, if you have income, mm-hmm. if you have any income at all, you have to file.
Right.
So I'm guessing that if you have no income, like if you're dead or something, you probably don't have to file.
In a vegetative state, probably.
That's your room temp, yeah.
Room temp.
Ground temp.
Oh, sick.
Or like if you're on the Apollo mission, like, was it Swig or whatever?
Yeah.
I forgot to file my taxes. And the other engineering controller goes, man, they'll get him for that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and he's like, what, he's circling the moon? Yeah, come and get me! Yeah, bastards! They probably would, too.
Yeah, I know.
He owes $10,000 in taxes.
Launch another Saturn.
That's it. Launch another Saturn.
The space shuttle at $200 million.
That's right. We're going to go, well, that's what this guy's doing. I mean, think of what does it cost? Seriously, what has it cost them to collect this $1.16?
Oh, tens of thousands of dollars.
No, seriously. Yeah. And if she goes to trial, I mean, and of course she could go to jail. I mean, and that's going to cost.
Yep.
You know,
and she would, too.
And right, and it costs roughly $30,000 a year to keep somebody in jail.
Oh, come on.
No, I mean,
well, she only faces 4 years.
Oh, I'm sorry. So for $1.16, that's going to cost the taxpayers of Hateland, Ohio. It's going to cost
$120,000.
Well, that's just for the jail.
Right.
It's going to cost them, you know, $200. It's going to cost them, you know, probably when it's all done, $500,000 or something.
$1.16,
and of course, okay. I would imagine that the taxpayers of Hateland, Ohio, would be ecstatic about that, having their tax bills go up to incarcerate this one for a dollar. I mean, can you imagine?
Their property taxes go up to collect $1.16.
We should look on. I don't have it here in front of me. She sent them a check for $1.16. Well, no, she offered to do it. Well, this reminds me, of course, as I told you this, you know, here they always lie to you anyway when they talk about the penny tax. I sent them my penny. and they didn't think it was funny.
They didn't?
No, I...
Did you get it back?
No, they kept it.
Oh, man.
They kept it. It cost me 37 cents to send it to
right,
them.
Right, right.
I'm surprised they didn't spend 37 cents to send it back to you.
That's right. Well, I've seen that happen before.
It's unlawful
to they're going
to
keep the penny and then send him a letter saying they didn't like what he did.
Or thank you.
Or thank you.
Yeah, whatever it is. Right. So there's the envelope, the paper, the penny. Right. And, yeah. No, they didn't do that. They didn't even send me an email. Not even a... So anyway, the point being that a penny tax is a 1% tax,
right.
and
it adds up to a lot more than a penny.
Yes, that's what I was. I was headed that way.
I knew.
I was headed there.
Speaking of income taxes and not paying them, are you gentlemen aware of what's going on in the Supreme Court right now? There's Schiff, I think is his name. They're deciding whether or not he had the right to not pay his income taxes?
No. That is so old. We're going to cut that out. That is that guy, Schiff is his name. He's from Connecticut. He's a tax avoidance type guy for years, for 20 or 30 years.
Right.
And I'll remember his first name in a minute, but he used to give talks when I was in the old days. This is 30 years ago during the early days of the...
Robert?
No, it's... I'll remember it. Anyway, it's not... It might be Gordon, but I forget. Anyway, the point is, he's from Connecticut. He's been doing this for years and years and years. They have prosecuted. They have actually won a couple of things. I think he spent some time in jail, and he's gotten out. But the point is, he used to give the seminars in the 70s, in the mid-70s, on how not to pay any taxes. And, of course, it turned out that a lot of the stuff was illegal, or at least they made it illegal. And it's like the guy in – too bad we don't have the soundbite from – from Star Wars, where he says, "I will make it legal." I will. What is it when they said the invasion about the invasion?
Oh, right.
And the Emperor. It was Palpatine. I will make it legal. Okay. Anyway, that's what. So the point was that he had all these great ideas. I remember listening to him, and they sounded pretty good. You know, you set up a offshore trust or this, that, or the other, and it turns out according to this, that, and the other, you know, you don't owe any taxes, and you pay yourself some little dividend instead of a salary, whatever the hell it is, however you live, and you don't have to pay taxes according to the code. Well, it was bullshit. I mean, let me put it this way: it might have been that technically you might have been able to get off, but anybody that tried it went to jail. And so,
well, he's in court right now.
No doubt.
It's actually in the Supreme Court as we speak. It is either the state Supreme Court or the federal Supreme Court.
It's the state. I would have heard about it if it's the Supreme. I'm sure it's the state. I'm
sure it's the state. They're waiting for the decision.
Well, it wouldn't be the state Supreme Court. It would be the Court of Appeals, I think. It's okay. The federal.
Well, they call it Supreme in some states. They call
okay.
it different names.
Okay, well, whatever. Anyway, the point is, yeah, again, don't hold your breath on that. This, of course, would all be, nothing if we had the fair tax.
Right,
right.
And it's interesting that just like today or yesterday, Connie Mack and his crowd, whom right. I know, by the way, I know Connie. He's on the president's advisory commission for to reform the tax reform
right.
commission, which they have these tax reform commissions about every week, and they come up with 200-300 pages every week, and of course that's all codified into 10,000 pages of new tax law every week, and that's why
every year your tax return is completely different.
That's right. Number one, it's completely different, and number two, it's longer, it's more complicated. You have to usually H&R Block does a little dance every year because everything's changed.
Oh,
anyway,
man.
this is a new attempt at tax simplification. Which is, it is no such thing. I mean, they claim it is, but basically, when you strip away the chaff, what's left is the wheat. And
they want to burn that.
Well, they want to burn the rich people is what it boils down to. They are going to take more poor people off the rolls. And basically, well, the way they do it is they want to set up what they did in 1986. Look, this has all been done before.
Right.
This is the definition of insanity,
right.
is you keep trying the same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result. Mm-hmm. They did tax simplification. When Reagan was in office, you had two. The closest they could get to a flat tax was they had two levels. It was 15 and 28 or something like that. I forget what it was. And basically, you paid 15% under a certain amount of money, and you paid 28% over that. And that was it for it. And they eliminated a lot of the deductions. One of the major deductions that they did not eliminate, they could never get away from, was the home mortgage deduction. That was the big deal. Was the fact is that if you finance your home, you get to deduct the interest. If you itemize. Now, since that time, what's happened? The AMT has kicked in. Well, a lot of people are paying the alternate minimum tax, which was designed strictly for the one or two rich people in this country in 1968, is now applies to millions of people because
there are millions of rich people.
There are millions of people who would have been rich, who by 1968 standards are now rich in dollar amount. They're not rich, of course, but it was designed for rich. So as incomes have gone up, inflation and so forth and so on, they have been kicked into the AMT category, and so they're paying 20% across the board, no deductions. Other than that, there are people who are not in the AMT category, who do not itemize, who do not get the home mortgage deduction. They take, because the standard deduction has been increased. There's about half the taxpayers don't even, they fill out the EZ form. Now we're talking about the people who do itemize and don't fall into AMT, who are entitled to the home mortgage deduction. And those are the people that complain bitterly about. Now, what the new commission has, and that's why it was still in 1986. Now this new Connie Mack Commission and so forth, they want to put, as they do on so many things, they want to put a cap on the amount that you can use for your home mortgage deduction, number one. And they want to eliminate it, I think, interest deductions on your second home. And so this is the same thing that they're trying to do to save Social Security. It's exactly the same kind of thing, kind of in reverse. With Social Security, what they want to do is to remove the cap on what you pay, your 15%. Right now, up to about 90,000, if you could, or anything you earn over $90,000,
they don't take. Oh.
They don't take. That's the whole point. And so if you are a rich person, you get away with
keeping your money.
You get away with your money, right? Over $90,000, you don't have to pay the 15%. Now, what they want to do in Social Security is they want to remove that cap, or at least raise it, So that rich people pay more into Social Security. Of course, they won't see the money because they have their own retirement plans, number one, and the way Social Security is skewed, even when they retire, their check will never begin to take to get, they won't get their money back. Where does that money go? It goes to the people who make a lot less money. So that's it's transfer.
Tantine.
So the tantine, right. So the same thing occurs in reverse with the home mortgage deduction. What they want to do is to eliminate want to put a cap on the amount of interest that you can write off. Currently, what happens is if you buy a $10 million home and you finance the bejesus out of it, and you're paying $1 million a year in interest, you get to write that $1 million off your income. They what they want to do is they want to cap that at like $100,000 or something, so that you don't get to deduct that. Which means again, rich people get it in the gazongo, and you know, obviously they're going to raise this, that money goes essentially it's a transfer to quote the poor people that we always care so much about. I of course my question is with all the transfers to the poor people, why do we still have them? I mean, and of course in this country, poor is like, you know, $20,000-$25,000 a year. You are a poor person. And I look around the world, and you look at the 2 billion people that make, you know, when you look at when you
$2 a day,
well, you know, Haiti, the or someplace like that, which is the poorest poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere, and the per capita income is like $300. Okay, now the poverty, we're talking about abject, tongue hanging out, stomach descended,
distended
poverty in the United States is $20,000. That means that you are, you know, you are lying on the side of the road from
with the sign that says "won't work for food."
That's right, won't work for food. No, I mean poverty in the United States is you only have one TV set, and your second one's a black and white.
Well, it's like the Nairobi comedian said, "You are welfare, you are rich."
That's right.
That's good. So actually, I've had a friend who gets into a lot of the very poor houses with his business. He has a carpet restoration company, and every time there's water damage, the pipes in these old crack houses explode. He's got to go in there with his staff and clean them up. And he said that the very poorest people have two televisions in each room, and one of them is a big screen. I mean, literally, big screen TVs, DVD players before the rest of us had them. These were the abject poverty in
They probably didn't pay for those.
No, of course they
I mean, that's, you know, you think about it.
It's hard to steal a big screen TV unless...
Well, you say that, unless you happen to be in New Orleans.
Unless you happen to be in New Orleans. Right, no, these are coming from, you know, their food stamps that they're selling for 50 cents on the dollar or whatever. And
you're not supposed to do that.
I don't. I take my food stamps directly to Publix and buy foie gras.
Okay. But, is foie gras on the list? You're allowed to do that?
I can buy anything but cigarettes and
no alcohol.
Liquor.
No liquor.
Yeah, but the crack guy, man, he takes food stamps. Excuse me. He takes freaking food stamps.
That's good to know. Because I was looking for some crack the other day, and I was wondering
if you could trade those in.
Yeah, I was wondering if I could trade those
I took
in.
It all of it. I'm sorry.
44 minutes. You guys want to get back on track or what?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
On what crack? What?
Crack on crack?
We want to see crack on crack.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we've had... We're going to switch to what? The Saddam trial now? You want to do the Saddam?
I don't know, man. How about the Spanish judge who wants to... who issued the arrest warrant for the three GIs... Did you hear about that?
No.
A Spanish judge has issued an international arrest warrant for three U.S. soldiers for they're accused of firing their tank at a Baghdad hotel, which killed a Spanish journalist and a Ukrainian photojournalist with him. And that happened a few years ago. And this is one good reason why I agreed with not signing the international that treaty.
I think you had a lot of people that agreed with you. How were they? No way. No, you know, as Curtis just mentioned, international law is kind of one of these fiction
things.
It's
fiction. Yeah. It's called war.
You know,
that's the law.
You know, you got to ask yourself,
who has the tanks?
What are these people doing in the Hague, for instance? Have you ever seen those people in the Hague?
Yes.
You know, that's where Milosevic is right now.
Milosevic, you think?
Well, he's there. You know, they got him in.
Oh, they got him in. That's right, right, right.
He says, you guys don't have any jurisdiction.
Right.
And, of course, that's what Saddam is saying.
Yeah.
I'm president of Iraq, for God's sake. Right. You can't arrest me.
No, you're right. He's going to get off.
Saddam's
going to get
off.
He's going to walk, man. He's going to walk out of there, man. Technicality.
What he ought to do, if he's smart, is he ought to claim that he's one of his lookalikes.
Exactly. There's a good point.
I've been held prisoner. I'm not Saddam Hussein.
They'll DNA test his rectum.
Of course, what he says is, that DNA, you know, Saddam made me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's
right.
Of course, it's my DNA. What do you think, Saddam? He's not an idiot.
Right.
You know,
that was one of those cool Stargates where Anubis cloned himself a bunch of times and they couldn't figure out the real one, you know. But anyway, he's going to.
Let me get this straight. He's got, of course, a bunch of Johnny Crocker and wannabes over there, right?
Right.
That are doing this.
Because Johnny's dead.
Well, I knew that Johnny dead. Johnny dead.
You think that was an accident?
Yeah. And so anyway, they got some wannabes over there, and these guys are doing it pro bono. They're in there in the Baghdad.
Name only.
Huh?
Make their name only, right?
That's right. Make their, I guess. And
who knows?
And so they're gonna argue what? Curtis.
There's no chance. This whenever you have a special tribunal set up, this is just
it's
really,
a lynch mob.
It is. This is an exercise.
I mean, he literally, I mean, how many milliseconds would he
kangaroo
kangaroo court, yeah. Right? I mean, how many milliseconds would he survive if he walked out of there? I mean, you know, everybody, whoever's terrified of him is going to take a shot. You know, I mean,
if he could make it to Crete or something,
yeah, if he could make it, you know, they're
not going to make it out of the sidewalk.
Well, exactly,
but you know,
to Crete,
they do have as we speak. They're interviewing people across. You know, it is the most watched show in Iraq
Arab
right
TV.
Now. Oh, absolutely. No, they are.
It's like it's the OJ trial for them.
Oh, absolutely. No, there's no question. It is on 24/7. Literally, it is exactly exactly what it is for those people. But it's interesting in Tikrit, they are, you know, go Saddam, hey, number one, man, come on back. Let's you know, get off. This kind of thing.
We're waiting for you.
Yeah. Of course. So they've interviewed a fair number, you know, they've done a cross section. It's interesting because there are people that say, well, you know, we love him, we want him. You know, they're doing marches with his big old signs with his picture. And then, of course, a lot of people are saying that obviously had their wives, parents, mothers, whatever it is, killed, rape, murder, whatever it is, are saying, I want it. I'll kill it. You know, right. I'll pull the switch.
Sure,
don't
let him back.
Yeah.
Hey, it's okay. Come on back to my house first.
And that's what this is for. It's like every time they topple a regime, they started it after the Nazi Germany thing.
Nuremberg
they
trials.
They did it for Milosevic.
Yeah, of course, he's in The Hague. Have you ever seen those judges? I mean, they got the big
powder
wigs, and the red. Then they're from like Scotland and places.
Oh, come on.
You know
they're not wearing anything but like French lingerie underneath those big red things.
That's
Monty Python.
Little Monty Python.
Look,
that's right.
Just because it was Monty Python doesn't mean
it doesn't happen. That's right. In humor,
McGavel.
That's right.
Frank McGavel.
He's
so cute. The little prosecutor is so cute. I banged me little gavel at him. So it is. So you think that he's so what's he going to get, like 4 or 5 years or something, or what?
No, what he's going to get? Got time off for good behavior? What?
Yeah, exactly.
Time served.
He gets a day.
Community service.
Able to prove that was his handiwork.
Time served. Community service. Watching what? Police camels or something?
Police camel nuts.
Scrubbing nose. You like that, George? Huh? I wish I could have had a picture of that.
He's going to get house arrest.
House arrest. Have to wear one of those Martha Stewart braces.
I think it's cave arrest. It's
cave arrest. Okay.
Yeah.
Hole arrest.
Spidey hole arrest.
Right.
You're going to stick him with
So no, what's
Osama.
He facing? Is he facing? He's facing death?
He's going to get death.
He's going to get death?
Yep.
Okay.
50 times.
And of course, the question is, you know, how do they do it over there? Stone them or what?
I mean, firing squad?
Hang them. They're going to hang them.
That's a good question. They may do the firing squad.
No. Nope.
Yeah.
It says they're going to hang us.
Oh, is that
That's
right?
That's what it is. Hanging.
Really?
Yeah, they're going to hang them.
Can
we get that on pay-per-view?
Yeah.
You bet.
Would
I like to have the franchise on that
one? You give me a plane ticket, and I will fly over there with a handy cam, sneak into the and do that, and bring it back here, man.
No. You're going to have to be live televising through our network so we can,
okay, fine.
You know.
No problem. I just get to wear one of those.
We'd have a special Jimmy Dome live remote from Jimmy Dome.
Sign up on our website.
He's risking his life.
Yeah, but you have to do it this way. They have to convene a special tribunal, and they have to go through some sort of court procedure, because otherwise...
No jury of his peers? Or
Yeah, well, they tried to round up a bunch of despots, but Pinochet is done.
His
Kim Il-jung won't leave Korea, North Korea.
Mugabe? They could get Mugabe, maybe.
Well, Mugabe's afraid to leave Africa.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
But they did... I wouldn't. Now, they did say that... And like, his charges are only for like what 143 deaths.
First
or something
one, 147, 150.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they just picked something.
Right.
That's what they do.
Random.
Kind of like what they do here in this country when they when they arrest you on your car, you have a headlight and no seatbelt and no by then reckless and you know, didn't like the way you're looking, so forth. They stack them on. Of course, when you go in there, the judge says, "Well, we'll dismiss all the little ones and
I can't believe I'd have mowed him down in the hole, man.
You're fighting exactly. Shot him in the head.
There he is.
Yep. Oops. Oh,
he had a pistol.
Triggers, a little slippy. Yeah.
Butter fingers.
Yeah. Oh man,
butter trigger.
Butter finger. Eric,
how'd that happen? Anyway,
is this thing loaded?
Yeah. Oh man, I thought the safety was on. Dang. Shit,
you're
I'm
famous.
In retrospect,
you can do your talk show route. You know, I shot Saddam. It'd be like I shot JR.
I shot Saddam.
So they're gonna. He's gonna toast. Well, the question is, how long are they gonna drag this out? Do you think?
Oh, it'll take a couple years.
Many.
You're kidding?
No.
Really? You are kidding me.
What they're gonna try to do is get over with this first trial if they can. And Curtis is, if he's right, you know, if they don't get to, then what's gonna happen?
Well, they do have in the stocks there, of course. You know, in the cage or whatever, they got like 9 other people that are on trial with him.
Yes. Right, for this particular crime,
right,
that they're holding him up for. They want to get him and hang him, but the rest of the nation wants to try him for the rest of the crimes. So the Kurds want to get him for the gassing, and Iran wants to get him for whatever. And so, but they want to go ahead and just get this trial over with and hang him, just to get it done, you know.
But you're thinking it'd be like the U.S. would take a couple years, eh?
Yeah, because they set it up in sort of the international tribunals are not set up through Iraqi law.
Ah,
they're sort of convenient.
They don't have any law.
Well, they
well,
do.
Well, they do now.
They do have a sort of court committee over there. Which they have brought together to sort of organize this tribunal, but it's
they've got a process for this, you know.
Sure.
The process, you know, they worship the altar of process.
Yeah, it's like I say, if they don't do the process, then somebody's just got to shoot them. So
that too,
well, you just blow up the entire court, you know, and just take care of it.
Well, one tomahawk,
one.
You know, we were trying to get him before. We know where he is now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's right.
Smart bomb away.
So there's a little collateral damage.
No, we give everybody. We give them a little note.
Yeah, they pass them all a little note that says, "Get out now." and then the smart bomb is certainly the video imaging of his picture.
Right, right. Yeah,
you know,
through the roof, get him looking up, smiling, or whatever.
Yeah, he'd be like,
Yeah, what's this? You know, in a shot right before the... Yeah, that'd be good.
Right.
But I'm surprised it's going to take a couple years. You know, I think it would be like they did with Lincoln's people. You know, they got... I mean, that was like 2 weeks, and they were, you know, on the scaffold. Of course, he's just going to sit there and say, I'm innocent.
And you don't have the right to try me anyway.
Who's he doesn't...
He doesn't recognize your authority.
So, to you know, and they, I don't recognize the authority of that bullet heading towards
exactly.
my head.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm sure that's what
I don't recognize the authority of this rope around my neck.
I recognize the authority of gravity. That's what you
Yeah, pretty much. You got to recognize that one. That's a hard one to avoid. Yeah, gravity, that damn gravity gets you every time. no question about that.
So, but I'm sure that's the stance that the prosecutors are going to take is I mean, the defense. I mean, they're going to say, oh, you know, this isn't legal. Can they say that? They're going to say this isn't a legal court and all this stuff. And
they're not going to get away with it.
No. Right. So that's the whole point. Is once they're in the court, once the court is convened,
right,
it's over. That
it's
battle's
over.
Lost.
Right.
So all the arguments that he could make about the fact that he's the ruler and there are no courts that can try him, et cetera, he can't make
the defense is going to have to say he didn't do it.
Right.
They're gonna. That's gonna have to be. I didn't push that button. You know,
right.
It wasn't me.
Right.
It's somebody else. One of my underlings must have done.
Right. Exactly. Right.
That's exactly what's gonna have to happen. He's gonna. And then at that point, when
then he walks.
Then he walks.
Yeah, right.
I didn't order that. You know, show me that piece of paper where I ordered it.
That's right.
I didn't
know.
They
have some pieces of paper, but it has just a signature on it. But it could be anybody. You know. It could have been Ford.
Yeah, you know, when the jury of Kurds gets a hold of the...
Yeah, exactly. They're the ones. That's what they want to have.
I doubt there's even a jury. I bet the judge makes a decision.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. The judge. It's going to be, like you said, the tribunal is going to, you know, gavel it off and, you know, hang him
right.
or whatever.
What a waste of time. You know, he's going home every day going, well, I got to hang him. I mean, I don't even know what we're doing here. I mean, you know, there's no...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you got... Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. What do those guys do? All those people in the courtroom, when they go home every night... What do they do?
Fear for their lives?
No, what they do.
Yeah.
They watch The Simpsons or something? Or
well, they do now.
Perhaps.
Yeah, that's right. They do watch The Simpsons now.
Yep.
Except no, what is it? No beer and no bacon.
No,
no
bacon.
Beer, no bacon.
What does he say when he says, pork chops? Lamb chops.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
no.
He says,
camel ass.
He says something else. I mean, it's not even it's Homer. It's Omar. And it's Badir instead of Bart or Badr, B-A-D-R. made. Oh, there's no Moe's bar has been completely written out of the Simpsons.
My gosh,
hot dogs will become Egyptian beef sausages, and donuts will become popular Arab cookies called kank.
Called so, what?
Spell that again.
I'm sorry.
K-A-H-K. I don't know how you spell it.
Cock. Boy, I'll tell you
something. There you go.
Cock.
Get it right.
Cock, yeah.
Sounds better yeah, than that's the last a good, one I thought it
an
was.
An Arab treat.
Right, right. I can see. I can see Homer going, oh, cock.
Can I get two orders of hot cock, please?
Oh my gosh.
Yes, I love it.
So, but yeah, so there's changing it just ever so slightly.
Oh, God. I mean, it's that. Well, the Al Jean, the executive producer, says it says the changes are so vast, it means that they're not even the Simpsons anymore.
But they're getting paid.
That's, I mean, they're going to get paid, of course. Yeah, they
get
sure
the
will.
License to get some of that oil money back.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
I didn't really understand what it says. It says, with characters who are Jewish, like Krusty the Clown, Hindu, like Quickie Mart owner Apu, and Christian, like the family pastor, Reverend Lovejoy, I guess all those get written out, too.
Oh, my.
So, I mean, you know, who's left? Well, I mean, they got a bunch of characters, but still, it is.
Well, you know, actually, what they should do, of course, are the Stinky and Atchy cartoons.
Stinky and Atchy.
No,
Rinky and Scratchy.
Rinky and Dinky cartoon.
The Rinky and Dinky.
No, what is it? Itchy and Scratchy, right?
Yeah.
Now, those go over big.
Right, well, I love
now that. That would go.
Well, yeah, because they're gory and
they're
bloody.
They're gory, blood, everything. Right. And they could show Itchy and Scratchy. They could. I mean, how many Itchy and Scratchy episodes are there? Probably 100.
Right, and I mean, how many times have they literally worn a backpack and blown themselves up?
Perfect.
You know, I mean, it's
bravo.
No, this fits right in. That's what Groening ought to do is to rewrite the whole thing for Itchy and Scratchy.
Right.
I liked your other one, Stinky and Crotchy.
Stinky and Crotchy, right.
Right.
Answer your question, what's going to happen is, what happens when those people go home every night is they think to themselves, hey, we are providing some sense of closure to all the people who were killed under Saddam. Some sort of formalized approach to the entire situation, which spells out and tells the world what is just.
Well, it's interesting because
closure, when you know.
Closure, yeah, this, but I look at this as a little T90 little bottle cap on a huge, open, gaping wound. I mean, when you think about literally hundreds of thousands of people that have been raped, murdered, killed, whatever it is. And you think about the devastation that
millions.
That guy... Well, the devastation this guy... And every one of them is going to say, well, he... I mean, I'm sure that every one of those people would like to take their just rewards on that guy.
Oh, there's more people that want to take it out on him than they do want to kill the guy who killed John Lennon.
Well, that's... Yeah. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, so this provides them with that sort of closure.
If you say so. Okay. No, you're right. I mean, what else can you do?
Right.
It's what it boils down to.
What else
right.
can you do?
You're right. There's nothing else you can do. No, that's right. But it's just interesting that it has to drag on for 2 years.
My lightsaber. Cut his head off.
Exactly.
That was a lightsaber, folks.
Yeah.
Off with his head. That's what they're going to do. Well, no, they're going to hang him, and then they're going to bury him, and they're going to dig him up.
And kill him again.
And then they're going to kill him again. You know?
And then clone him and then kill his clone.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's the best.
Did you see? Oh, that was a great Itchy and Scratchy where Itchy got bored because he was upset because he killed Scratchy and he couldn't kill him anymore. So then he goes, oh, and he goes and takes a piece of DNA and he makes his cloning machine. And then so he's cloning him and then he's whacking him off as they're coming off the cloning machine. That gets too tiresome. So then he puts a killing machine. So the cloning machine is cloning him and then the killing machine is shredding him up.
So they go straight from the cloning machine.
That might
directly.
Get a little old.
Yeah. But it's very fulfilling. You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed that the Brits are trying to do a national ID card now.
What?
Well, but everybody, it seems like everybody's already on TV in Britain, aren't they? Aren't that, London, I know, is the most videoed city in the world.
It is. The only reason I bring this up is because I wonder what they're going to say. Now, this card's supposed to have biometrics on it.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Now, I wonder...
Wait, stop the presses. For those people out there, biometrics, does it have a piece of your DNA in it?
I don't know if it's actually got your DNA. It's got probably your code in there, or at least...
Now, that's like 40 billion pieces of information or something like
that. Sure, they can put it all in the card now.
Yeah. Oh, you mean your fingerprint or something?
Yeah, it'll have fingerprint.
At least your fingerprint. Right. Retina scan, something.
Age, that kind of stuff.
AIDS.
AIDS.
And so what I want to know is, when there's something wrong with your car. Now, this car is not a license to drive or anything. It's just a license to sort of
get arrested.
It's a license to be free.
Right.
Because if
it's this chain is a license to be free.
It is, because if you think about it, if there's something wrong with it, you know what they're going to say.
Your papers are not in order.
Your papers are not in order. And what else can they do except for take you into custody?
Execute you. Oh, it was a mistake. We're terribly sorry. Here's a check for $1.16 for the inconvenience. Thank you. Come again.
So when they start that in the U.S., I urge people to go
move.
That's right. Yeah. Well, the rate things are going, there's not going to be a bugging place to live here with all the hurricanes and stuff.
Yeah. Well, you'd think real estate would be cheaper, but apparently the price has gone up.
Way up.
Especially
in Pensacola.
In Pensacola and on the levee broke. In that area, the price went up.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Oh, I couldn't believe it.
Well, what they've said is
rocket science.
Housing prices are way up in New Orleans. Which
That would figure. But what happened was in Pensacola was that the beachfront property where they'd been that the price of that property went up when people came down there with boatloads of cash, saying, "I'll just take the house blew down. Fine, I'll pay you more than what it was before with the house on it. I'll take it now."
Right. Wow. Well, you can make a hurricane-proof house, but they probably won't.
It doesn't take much to make a hurricane-proof house, and I can tell you from personal experience. The one way you do it is it ends up looking like something out of Barney Google, Snuffy Smith's house. I mean, it's in tatters before the hurricane gets there. I mean, basically,
I was going to build it like a pyramid.
Right. Yeah. No. What you do is you stick it up on stilts,
right.
And basically the wind blows through.
Right.
And it is
Well, that's why they do it in the islands.
Right. I mean, the whole house basically costs you $50.
Right.
And, you open up all the doors and windows.
Yeah. No. It's,
and the water washes through. And
yeah.
The wind
exactly.
Blows
yeah. Through. No. That's basically
and
that's
you push the whale out of your living room or not or just cut it up and serve it.
Yeah. That's right.
Right.
No, that's right. You get you get the really big Foreman grill.
And you invite George over.
That's right. You get the big George Foreman grill and you grill that whale. Man. We're having endangered tuna tonight.
Oh, man, you could charge a lot for that.
Could you imagine all the oil dripping out of that whale? You pay for the house.
Boy, I tell you, that's right. You have your utilities paid for a while.
Yep.
That's valuable stuff. Do they use that whale oil perfumes and stuff like that?
They still do in some places, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no question about it. So anyway, that's the way you make a... I mean, I could tell you when
let's do it.
When I was a kid... Going down to Bethany Beach, Delaware, we had this place we went down to every year, and it was this ramshackly, I mean, look through the floorboards house, and I mean, that thing had been there for 50 years at least.
Right.
It would have been there, and the wood was 50 years, and it was warped and everything. You know,
well, that's the aerodynamic, you know, warping,
well,
you know.
That's right. I mean, and of course, it was funny because the only thing you ever had to replace in that house just about was the screen door spring. And, of course, my aunt would sit there and say, "Don't slam the bang door!" You know? And so because that every time you open it up, of course, it wouldn't actually close. It would just bang against the side because the door frame was so warped that the screen door wouldn't actually... And, of course, the nice thing is, of course, especially back in those, you didn't have to lock anything up.
Right.
You just leave it.
Right.
I mean, what's there to take?
Right. Nobody here in Florida to take it either.
Well, of course, anymore, you probably get the squatters.
Oh, I was here for a while, and now it's mine.
Yeah, well, of course, they've got that in some... Not, they don't have that so much here, but they certainly have it in...
California.
And they have it in Washington, D.C.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, you move in, and boy, it's years to get anybody out of it.
I made a joke to one of my landlords who happened to be a friend in D.C.
Was a friend.
Oh, he was? I just said, you know, I like this place. Squatters' rights! I'm not leaving... Man, he went off on me so hard. He thought I was serious and I was going to...
You probably were.
Yeah.
Well, no.
No offense, EJ. But
yeah, can I stay here for a little while?
I can understand why he might have had a heart attack. That's great. Okay, well, anything else you want to talk about? How are we doing today on time?
We didn't get to the Myers. We didn't get to the...
We didn't get to Condoleezza Rice saying 10 years in Iraq.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that right now. But there are two things that I did want to mention. I guess that it was Harriet. Harriet looks like she.
This Why is, do you want to talk about her? What does it matter? She's not going to make it.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
It's interesting because everybody up until now has said she's not exactly a shoo-in, but boy, I'll tell you, the opposition is mounting on that. I'm beginning to think. I agree with Curtis on this one. She shouldn't be there. That is just absolutely ridiculous. It is scary to think that she would be on the Supreme Court, personally. It is just frightening.
Shut up, Harriet.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you why, because one of the things that has come out from time to time has been something called, well, a little common sense. Well, I'll tell you, common sense is something I don't want on the Supreme Court. I mean, that's the last thing you need, it seems to me. You want somebody who's going to look at the law, and sometimes the law is not common sense. I mean, it is sense, but it's not common sense. Common sense. Einstein once said that common sense is the mythology that you learn in childhood. And the problem with common sense is that when you see the little girl in the mine shaft, you suddenly want to pass laws or do things that affect a lot of people because you're compassionate and because it's only common sense. But that's not the law. And so you know, people are hanging their hats on this Roe v. Wade thing. And I think that let's assume that she gets on there, and let's assume that she's the swing vote, and let's assume that Roe v. Wade gets overturned. And what is it? The other one, Griswold, you know, which was a joke. That was the right to privacy. I don't know where that came from. But even so, then you don't know. Then the doors are open. I mean, when you're talking common sense, you don't know what mischief can occur. And she has exactly zero track record. You know, nobody can tell anything about her. She scares the shit out of me, I'll tell you.
Well, look, if all of the people that have known and worked with her over the past 30 years or whatever don't have enough of an opinion of her, you guys might be right. You know, she definitely doesn't need to be on there. But they've got to. She's been the president of a bar.
Well, yeah, but there's stuff coming out. There's stuff coming out of the woodwork of that. What, like Mo? She's been a president of that bar. No, the law bar. Right. Okay. Not the all you can eat bar. Not the Not the buffet bar. Okay. No, the point is that it seems to me she might be a very nice person. She might be, you know, and everybody loves her to death and so forth and so on. But I don't see that as credentials for the Supreme Court at all.
Yeah, we just don't know. The hearings should reveal a lot, you would hope.
Well, unfortunately, there's going to be so much grandstanding. You know, those guys, you know, as I say, the person that is, talk about scary people is Chuck Schumer. Who, as you say, as I mentioned previously, is a death wish if you stand between him and a microphone or a camera, because he'll mow you down. I mean, go right through you. And so,
Jesse.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have every day after the hearings. They come out on the steps. They've got the 93 microphones all lined, and they have something to say. They're worse than the damn pundits on the news.
Oh. I mean, talking heads,
unbelievable. I mean, it's all for to stay elected. So I mean, I don't know how much substantive stuff's going to come out. I've seen about all I need to see. I'm voting against it. It's advise and consent. This is one of those cases where You trust the president to nominate somebody up to a point, but it's not a stealth person. I mean, this is going to be suitor two, as far as I can tell.
You think? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, could be. That's the whole point. You don't know.
Yeah.
You at least ought to have something you can hang your hat on, plus or minus.
Well, that's what I said. She's been around for 30 years.
Well, no, let me tell you, let me tell you, a justification for the Supreme Court is not trust me. That doesn't work. That does not work for the Supreme Court. You can do trust me on a lot of things, but we're talking 20, 30 years on the Supreme Court. No way I'm doing trust me.
At least.
No, that is not good enough.
You don't confirm on a wink and a nod
to
the Supreme Court.
No, I'm sorry. You just don't. And I'm worried that not much. What's going to come out of the hearings, I think, is nothing. And what they're going to hang their hat on, plus and minus, is trivial stuff. You know, she didn't pay her dues one year for the bar. I mean, what? You know, so, I mean, like, that is not a reason, plus or minus, it seems to me. If you're dwelling in that kind of minutia,
right? What they need to ask her, the questions they need to ask are, what does she feel are the legitimate sources of constitutional law? And then they need to elaborate on that. And if she gets into all kinds of weird, wacky stuff, yeah, God is a legitimate source of constitutional law, something like that, then you know where she's coming from.
I already believe that's what she would. That's what she thinks.
It very well may. At least then we'll know something about her. At this point, she's a ghost candidate.
And yeah, she's probably wise enough to realize that she can't say that outright.
Well, she's certainly going to have her handlers that are going to do everything they can. And, of course, Bush is, for some reason, this makes no sense to me at all, when you had a chance, and you know, you can't be elected anyway, this is the time when you kick up your heels and you do so. You take Air Force One, you go for a, you roll the goddamn thing. You know, you take it for a spin. You do the crazy shit that you can do. You know, you got 2 years left to go, whatever, 3 years, whatever, and you just, you go
well,
out
that's
and
that's what he did. He picked a woman that he liked
well,
because
true.
Of her religious situation.
Well, you got something, it's kind of like Clinton pardoning those people on the last day.
That's it.
You know, as he walks out the door, here, sorry, way. Mark Rich, what, you did what? Pardon. You know.
Hillary, you got that check from him? It cleared? Good. Okay, Mark.
Yeah, you're out.
You're good to go.
Did you see that the New York Times is starting to get blamed for the war in Iraq? For
it's about time. I thought that the whole time.
I knew they were guilty of something.
For not thoroughly investigating the WMD situation.
The New York Times.
Right.
Like, that's their job.
Right.
Okay, so wait a minute. They're supposed to send, what, Judith Miller or somebody over there?
Apparently.
Send Judith over there to find the WMD. Now, Iraq, of course, being the size of Texas.
Right.
And under the iron fist of Saddam at the time, and Judith, honey, you're an investigative reporter,
right?
And you know what Arabic writing looks like,
right?
And you pretty much know what it sounds like. Can't say anything. And so go on over there and find the WMDs or not,
right? And then report accurately.
Right. Okay. So
that the Congress can make up their mind.
That's right. So she gets off the plane. Goes to the hotel, says, none here, gets back on the plane, and reports back to the New York Times, there's no WMDs. That's what they did. Sounds like they did it to me. So why did they start the war? I don't understand. How are they being blamed for starting the war? Didn't they report?
No. They reported that there were WMDs.
Ah!
Yeah.
I see.
They ran with the party line and said, yep, it's there. They know something. You always get scared. When they say the president knows something that you don't know, bullshit. There's only a couple things he can know. If he knows one of them, then tell us what it is.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you brought that up because I did see something last night on TV. One of the people that is a communist in our legislature just about is John Dingell from Michigan, I think, or up there. He's up one of those northern liberal states in the center of the—I think it's either Michigan or Minnesota.
Union-bound?
Yeah, union-bound guy, whatever it is. Anyway, but he did have a point. I got to give him this. He has clearance, as does the president. His clearance is as high as the president, or higher. He can see any piece of paper that the president can. And he said he walked into the meeting when they were talking about the WMDs, and they said, trust me on this.
Another one.
And he said, well, show me. Yeah. Here's my clearance badge. And they said, no, we can't show you. He says, well, then screw you. And he voted against it. I got to give the guy, I got to say for once, you know, even poops like that guy can do the right thing every once in a while. And I got to give him credit, you know, because he said, I've got the clearance. I got hand.
That's what
I've got. I've got hand. I've got.
Anytime they try to tell you, like they just did the old thing. Oh, we thwarted 10 terrorist attacks, and the president knows more than you know. That's what they're trying to imply. Bullshit. If they know what it is, show it to us. Tell us, at least tell us what you think it is.
Well, at least tell the judge. You know, that's a lot of times as you know. The prosecution or the defense or somebody will come up with something, and the judge will say, "Well, I will look at it and determine whether it's at least you could do that,
right?
And that way, somebody, some independent person, could come out or committee from the Congress, the War Committee or whatever they are, they come out and say, "Yep, sure enough, he's what he said was right on the money,
right?
At least that." And if you don't do that much, if you're chicken shit to do that much, as far as I'm concerned, it don't happen. It ain't there. Right. I understand, you know, why they had secrecy, for instance, on telling a lot of things that happened during the Second World War for 30 years. Because to reveal that they knew it would have meant that they'd broken the code or whatever it was, and that they might change, the Ruskies or somebody might change their code if you revealed that we sent our boys in to do thus and so, and it wasn't an accident after all. This is how good we were. But if you'd revealed that any time in 20 years after the Second World War, you'd have put lives at risk because you were still doing it. So that I can understand.
Well, again, you got to be real careful with that argument, though, because that means they don't have to tell you anything.
Well, they have said, and one of the things they did say was that the secrecy, the top secret stamp has been replaced several times because they wear it out. they top secret everything in sight. And of course, when in doubt, it's TS. I mean, that's, you know.
But that's no longer the top. That's no longer the top anymore.
A super top, double secret.
Yeah, it's that's something like that.
Double secret but probation.
Top yeah, secret's right. Not.
No, they put a wax seal over it or something like that with a bow.
Yeah, you know, a retinal scan or some shit.
No, well, but they do. They have said that way too much stuff is going into the top secret category.
Yeah, that's just so they can. They're trying to protect their asses.
Oh, no kidding.
I mean, it's absolutely, you know this, I know this.
Speaking of plugging a representative.
yeah, I dated her.
I want to say kudos to Republican Rick Keller of Florida.
Really?
Who passed the cheeseburger bill.
no, wait a minute. Has it actually been passed yet?
It's passed the House.
It passed the House. Okay, he's a House rep, one of 120 or whatever, 80.
Orlando, Florida here. And what this bill says is basically it prevents people from suing the manufacturers of fast food for their problems with health.
I say if somebody wants to sell poison and somebody's going to eat it, let them go for it. Right. I mean, you know, I mean, my God, well, call the herd, do whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing. Call the herd is right. One of my, we can get into that later, but I'm a big fan. Because I'm going to go see Ann Coulter this evening.
And, oh, you really are?
Yes.
Where's she speaking? At the
She's speaking in
the O-Dome?
No, she's speaking actually
at the bakery.
At the bakery, right?
She's, where she gets hit with pies.
That's right. No, I asked about that. They said they're going to have a pie, you know, security force.
No, they're going to have a pie detector.
They have a
pie detector test. Everybody gets a pie detector test.
That's right. No pie. Is it a barbecue? It's at a private kind of thing.
But what time is it?
Oh, that's right.
Well, actually, as we speak, it's 4:00, and I'm supposed to meet her in 40 minutes. So,
Do you know Ann?
No. No, or which way now? Not in the biblical sense. I wish.
Not in the biblical
sense. She's a babe as far as I'm concerned.
She's definitely a babe.
No, I'm going to go say hi along with, you know, 1,000 other people probably. And, you know, and she's going to give a talk on something, who knows what. Probably on Harriet Myers. She doesn't think that Harriet should be consumed at all. Confirmed.
Consumed.
So anyway, the...
Consummated.
Yeah, consummated. That's right. Anyway, I got off my point. What was I talking about?
Cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburgers, right. Cheeseburgers.
No Coke Pepsi.
That's right. No
cheeseburger in paradise.
That's right. No, the cheeseburger law is, so what you're saying is ass backwards.
Yeah, because you ought to have the absolute right to input, in my opinion. It's your mouth. Stick whatever you want in there. If you eat some poison and die, too bad.
What the law says is you can't, if you get fat... And you hire a personal injury attorney, PI attorney, whatever it is, personal
right.
injury, and you said, it's because I ate McDonald's, and now he's going to sue McDonald's, Wendy's, whoever it is, for serving fat food to you.
Right.
Or class action, even.
Right.
But this
bill is going to prevent that.
Right.
Okay, so, and you're saying what?
Well, I'm saying it's a good effect. The effect is good. Effect is positive for preventing those suits. But those suits just ought not to have any merit anyway.
But right. But then you get a... Judge XYZ up there, somebody that says...
Who is fat? Well, can't control their eating habits.
Yeah, they get a fat judge up there. Well, then what?
What they need to do is change the law on liability. They need to change the...
Well, this goes... You brought up a valid point. This is one of the things that Ann Coulter says, as a matter of fact. She talks about illegal aliens, I think, or something along those lines. And she said, you know, until they change the welfare laws... you know, this is this, that, or the other, and so forth. Well, yeah, that's what on a systemic basis, that's what ought to be changed. You're right. This is a patch. That's right. And you're right. The problem is, unfortunately, the systemic part is what ought to be changed and won't be. That's the scary part. That's what frightens me is that the.
Oh.
Go ahead.
No, I got to see. Did you know they passed a similar law to protect gun manufacturers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now that's what through the House has been signed in law or what?
I don't know if it's gone all the way.
But this is like the PPK people or whatever it is up in Waltham, Massachusetts or whatever that make guns. And because, you know, Jimmy Joe Bob shot somebody in Houston, they want to sue the gun manufacturer because Jimmy Joe Bob got a hold of his gun.
It's so crazy. It's like, if that were a defense, then I could defend people for murder based on saying, well, it wasn't my client that killed the guy. It was the gun.
Yeah.
And course, more specifically, the bullet.
Well, right. That's what the gun would say. The gun would say, I was way over here.
Actually, he killed himself when he bled to death.
Right.
Exactly. He got in the way of the trajectory of my bullet.
And of course, the cartridge manufacturer can say, no, it wasn't me. See, I let the bullet part go.
The gunpowder.
The gunpowder guy, no, it wasn't me. No. I gave him a shove, but
that's,
I mean,
right.
That's right.
He gave him a shove.
The lead just kept on going on its own.
I told him not to do that. I told him to stop. I said, no, I'll give you a little shove, but as soon as you get out the barrel, drop dead. That's right. You're supposed to come out and just fall on the floor, man. What are you doing going through that guy's head?
That's the law of inertia. Take it to court.
That's right. We're going to read P.O. Newton's law. Exhume the body. That's right. I say that's a law we can do without. That's right. Newton's second law? I don't think so. I call it Newton's second theory.
So you guys are trying to stop people from suing Burger King.
I say we put a hole in the time warp space fabric continuum.
Going in the wrong direction.
That's it. That's right. I think we ought to quit
that. We all agree?
Yeah, we all agree on that one. Let's wrap her up. All right. On that note, if you all listen to this show, float off into the atmosphere, it's because we repealed the law of gravity.
That's right, buddy. Don't hurt yourself, because then you're going to sue us.
That's suing when you come down. Look, after you get up there about 1,000 feet, I'll reinstate the law. Sue me for that. By God, I'll show you what our law of gravity looks like. From 10,000 feet.
We'll get Ronnie Earle to enforce that law.
It's not a suggestion of gravity. That's the law of gravity.
Not a suggestion.
That's right. RyanJimmy@JimmyDone.com. Goodbye until next time.
Good night.
Good love y'all. Bye-bye.
See you later. Do something to you now.